B-Pod Studios.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
All right, back at it. Another installment of the non-award-winning podcast, Talkin' Rock. I appreciate you guys checking this one out. It's Biff from Saxon today, as we did a Zoom interview earlier as I record this on a Thursday. What is this, the 13th of January? As the new record from Saxon gets ready to drop in early February. I did the Zoom thing with Biff, but we just had the audio. He didn't want to do the video for whatever reason, which is fine, to be quite honest with you. I did a Zoom interview not that long ago with Tobias from Ghost. Same type of thing. But that's cool. It's like they can do whatever they want. I think that, you know, since the pandemic has kind of put us in different parts of the world and stuff, it is cool that we do Zoom interviews and Instagram interviews and stuff like that. But if this were a video interview, I'd also post it online at WRIF.com, as well as here on the podcast, like I did with Nita Strauss a couple weeks back as she's out touring right now. And, of course, getting ready to go out with Alice Cooper at the end of January also. And you can check out that interview from a couple episodes ago. In the meantime, let's get to Biff here. I love Saxon. I've been a fan since I was a kid. Denim and Leather is what introduced me to Saxon way back in the day. And their new record's Carpe Diem, and that comes out on February 4th. We talk a lot about that. We talk about some funny stuff with Don Jameson, of course, from That Metal Show. Can't forget about Don. He submitted a question, which is pretty funny. And then Biff went off and talked about an incident with Chris Jericho on the tour bus. So that comes up near the end of the conversation as well. I thought we'd get things started today since it is kind of the start of the new year. Just asking Biff about his holidays.
Good, actually. It's good. Everything's great at the moment.
Yeah, I saw you dressed up in all your Christmas gear there online and such in front of the Christmas trees and everything.
It's good. We always have a good time at Christmas if we can.
Yeah. And so are things where you are starting to get back to normal or not yet?
They're not back to normal, but they're pretty good here in the UK. I think, you know, the vaccination thing's really strong here. So, we're able to do a lot more things here. We have some shows happening, pretty big shows happening end of January. So hopefully that will go ahead. Everything's going the right way here at the moment.
Now, these shows coming up at the end of the month, are they going to be the first time? Is that going to be the first time you're going to be back on stage in a couple of years?
No, we did a couple of festivals in summer. We did one in UK and one in Germany. So it's the first time we've been indoors in 2 years, definitely.
Yeah. How did it feel to get back on stage for the first time this past summer?
That was great, actually. It wasn't as strange as I thought it would be. So yeah, it was good. It was good. It was good fun.
Now I was. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's all right. Finished.
No, I was going to say. I was going to ask you if this pandemic hit at the right time of, you know, like your band's cycle. Were you guys getting off the road and getting ready to record and everything, or did you guys have to shut things down?
Well, we were getting ready to do. We were getting ready to tour, actually, and to release this album. And, 2019, 2020, this album should have come out last year, actually, and we should have already been touring. But it didn't work out that way. So, you know, we have to rethink everything and come at it from a different point and start making records, really.
Yeah.
So that's what we did, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how obviously the pandemic with the one single that you guys have out right now is, obviously that paid a lot of influence into the single, but all these songs were pretty much pre-COVID, huh?
Some of them were. I mean, some of the music was, but not all the lyrics and melodies. But a lot of the music was pre-COVID, yeah. Not all of it, but some of it was. We were lucky enough to be able to do the drums before COVID really hit, before the lockdown started. So that was pretty cool. I think that was done in March 2020, the drums. So, you know, we've been making the album quite some time, really.
So what kind of stuff was influencing you up until then as far as the writing of the album was concerned?
Well, yeah, lyrically, I mean, pretty similar to most of my stuff that I write about, you know. It's mostly life-orientated, a lot of history in there and a lot of, different stories about different things. So I try and make the songs as interesting as possible, really. When I had a little bit more time on this one to spend writing lyrics and, you know, generally trying to come up with great ideas, really.
Now, with more time added like that, is that a help or a hindrance sometimes?
Well, I think it was a help for doing the lyrics, because I was able to, you know, to think about it a bit more and maybe put a more positive edge on everything, coming from the pandemic point of view. I just think that I just spent a little bit more time thinking about things rather than just, rushing along to finish the album. I was able to think a bit more about it, put a bit more thought into it.
So Carpe Diem, I mean, that's obviously the name of the record, the first single and the whole thing. Was that going to be the name of the record before the pandemic? That sounds like something that would be maybe post-pandemic, where, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
The original idea was Pilgrimage. I was going to call the album Pilgrimage, but, Seize the Day, which is what Carpe Diem means in Latin. I think Seize the Day is a more positive title for the album. And, it's a bit of a full-on rock song. So I just thought maybe, Carpe Diem would be a better album opener than Pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a bit more, mid-tempo.
Yeah, that's the third track on the record, according to the list I have right here.
Yeah.
And that that video, by the way, is pretty cool. Now, I'm over here in Detroit, and we don't see that the landscape like you guys had in that Carpe Diem video. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's taken from all sorts of places, really. I mean, the song's basically, a memory of people that died, really. I mean, I suppose it's built mostly influenced on the first pandemic, that we had in, 2020. It affected a lot of people. It's just a song about that, really. I didn't know whether to do it or not. I was a bit in two minds whether to, write a song about COVID or not. But I thought, yeah, let's just do it. It's important to say something, I think.
Yeah. How did COVID affect your life directly?
Well, luckily, we didn't really have any big illnesses, bad illnesses in our family so far. But, it affects, obviously affects the music industry. It's devastating for the music industry with no live shows, no nothing. It affected the band and everybody we employ, crew, management, record companies. It affects everybody within the music business. So I suppose it affects family as well, it's quite... 2 years is a long time to stay off the road for a band like Saxon.
Yeah, no doubt. And you had to notice all sorts of weird things and precautions and protocols when you did get back to play a few of those shows last year, huh?
Yeah, it is quite hardcore, getting in and out of Germany, for instance. You have to take tests and then come back and take tests again. And then, we had to pay for the tests. So it's all a bit, a bit crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, things are changing, but you're always going to have a test. So that's the downside of traveling, I suppose. You're going to have a vaccine passport, or you're going to have a test before you go.
Yeah. Do you see a time when you'll be coming over back stateside here this year?
Yeah. As soon as we can get there, mate, we're all excited about, doing some shows again, definitely. And we just want to get back out there. And, the album's getting great reviews, especially in America. So, we want to get over there and and tour, really, you know.
Yeah. And
that's what we're hoping for.
The album drops coming up on February 4th, and one of the songs that struck me, and I haven't heard it, I've only heard Carpe Diem and Remember the Falling, but Age of Steam is kind of, it brought me right back to Secret of Flight. Is there anything the two are combined or no?
No, not really. No. It's a song about history, you know. It's, you know, that song was about inventing flight, and this song's about Industrial Revolution, so I suppose it's connected. Technology, really, you know, how sort of people invent things and everything changes, you know. It's like a bloody, like a mobile phone, you know. Somebody invented a mobile phone and everything changed, you know. So that's how it is. Somebody invented, you know, a vaccine against COVID and everything changed. So, or supposedly changed, but, you know, that's how it goes, isn't it? That's how technology and sort of it works, really.
Now, this record, how many records have you guys put out in Saxon? I should know this.
Well, 23 now.
Okay.
This is our 23rd studio record.
I was going to say 20 or so, but yeah, 23 records. So when somebody drops the needle on this one or puts in their earbuds or whatever the case is, what do you think stands out to you?
On the album, I think all the tracks are really strong. I can't really pick my favorite song. I think they're all strong, and you know, a lot of people aren't picking one particular song. Everybody's picking, you know, their own favorite song, which is always a good sign, because sometimes you get everybody picking one song and everybody forgets about the other songs. But on this album, everybody's picking different songs, so which is always a good sign that it's a great album. I suppose when you buy the 23rd album of Saxon, you're buying into the legacy of the band. That's been making records now for 42 years. So I suppose that's what you buy into, you know.
And that has to be heavy in your thought process every time you personally write and record an album, right?
Definitely. We have a legacy to look after, and we have fans, you know, older fans and new fans that expect to have a great album delivered. And, you know, that's what we... When we're making albums, we're very aware of that, you know.
Yeah, the last record was so good, and I can't believe that you're going to put this this record out a couple years ago. It seems kind of strange that you would have had those two records so close to each other, and then the pandemic kind of pushed it back.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, when albums, we write albums, and when they're ready, we release them. You know, we don't wait for any perfect window, if you know what I mean. So. So, yeah, I mean, it's everything's dropped into place. We have a good team. So, yeah, go for it. That's what we think.
Now, that's funny that you should say that, because last year, or I should say in 2021, first of all, I didn't get to interview many bands because a lot of bands weren't putting stuff out. They were kind of waiting to see what was going to happen with this whole pandemic, you know?
That's right, yeah. I mean, we've been working quite hard, actually. You know, we released a covers album called Inspirations. So, you know, we've been working quite hard.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And this record, of course, once again, you're working with Andy Sneap. Talk about working with him.
Well, he's part of the team, and, you know, we're making, it's one of the reasons why we're still making great albums, because we have a great team, and, you know, it works well together. We sort of, you know, he's involved with the band at most levels. You know, when we first start writing, he's involved with that. I keep him in the loop, and me and Andy work quite closely together on most all aspects of the album, really. You know, I like to have him on in early on the initial, you know, he doesn't really write any music with us, but he's always in the loop when we're working and writing, you know.
Do you send him like demo tracks and stuff and to get his feedback?
Yeah, I'll send him. I mean, I'll probably go down there because I don't live that far away from him.
Gotcha.
So I'll go down there and take stuff that I've written, and we'll go through it, you know, and different guitar riffs that the boys have come up with, and you know, we'll go through it together, and we'll decide together which tracks to take on, you know, a bit further, and start to work a bit more on them. I mean, we find it's better to work on 10 or 12 tracks that, you know, that we all like, rather than working on 20 tracks than we only like 10 of them, you know. So,
yeah.
So we find that, you know, it's better to work on tracks that we all really love, you know.
So there's no leftover tracks from this recording session?
I don't think so. I don't think there is. There might be one, maybe, but it's been so long since we made it now. I can't remember, but yeah, I don't think there's much over now, really. I think it's there isn't a number one hit waiting there to be found.
Yeah. Now, you know, Andy, of course, made a lot of news recently with, you know, Judas Priest going to go out as a four piece. And, you know, I can't wrap my mind around that. You've been in a five piece band forever. Judas Priest, in my mind, will always be a five piece band.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. You know, I do know about it. You know, I've talked to Andy about this. But yeah, it is a bit strange that they decided to go out as a four piece. It's a bit of a wacky decision that I don't really understand it. I don't really understand the motives behind it. I mean, obviously, you know, if you play loud enough, you know, it can sound like a five piece band. But I mean, Richard's a great guitarist. But I think I'm in your camp. I think looking at stage and not seeing two guitarists, it would be a bit strange for me.
Yeah,
I mean, we have done it back in the day. I mean, Paul has done gigs, not recently, but back in the 80s, without Graham, the other guy, when he was ill or wherever. We have done it, but it's not really the same. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a wacky one, that. I mean, it's obviously their decision. It's their band, you know. So we can't really question their motives behind it, but I think it's a bit odd.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it, put it that way.
No, you know, didn't either. It's like, you know, the history of Judas Priest is a five-piece band.
Yeah, it's a bit of a curveball, that, really. Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is the time to have done it was when KK left. That would have been the best time to do it. And then, you know, Andy's been in the band now for 4 years, hasn't he? So it's a bit wacky. Bit wacky, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a conflict of scheduling or what's going on with that whole thing, but it just...
Well, I don't think it's anything with Andy.
Right.
But I think Andy is doing the next album, so you know, I can't see that. I don't think it's a problem with Andy or anything like that. I just think it's a decision they've made. I don't know. Honestly, I don't have any inside track on it, really.
Yeah. Now, you just mentioned Richie, and of course, last time I interviewed you, you were here in Detroit. I think it was March 2018. So do you know Richie? Have you talked to him lately?
I haven't talked to him. I've mentioned him a couple of times after he's had his problem with his heart, because he had a problem as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But I do check up on him quite a bit through different people. But, you know, I think he's raring to go. Richie, I think is raring to get that guitar in the air again.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's doing pretty well. Man, what a great guitar player he is too, man. Whew,
he is a great guitar player. And actually, you know, you have to be a great guitar player to be in Judas Priest, because, you know, their legacy is about guitars as well as Rob. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of great guitarists in the Judas Priest legacy.
Yeah, and you're just, I don't know why I just thought about this as you were talking about it, but, you know, you said you messaged him and stuff, and it's like, look, we're all getting older. You're in a band that's been around for a long time, and you had a song last time with snippets of Lemmy in there as well, so you know all the rock stars from the years gone by.
Yeah, definitely. I've met a lot of people. Some of them were, you know, good friends, and some of them are just acquaintances. But, yeah, I know a lot of people, yeah. Yeah. Like you do when you've been around a bit.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that tour with Judas Priest was so great with the guys from the Black Star Riders.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was that great touring with Priest. I mean, I'm a big Priest fan and they're big Saxon fans, you know, so it was a bit like touring friends, you know, competitive friends, I would say.
I was going to say, because both your bands seem to be cut from the same mold.
Well, we're north. I mean, Judas Priest and Saxon are from the same. You know, we're northern guys, basically. I mean, Judas Priest are a sort of, you know, a generation before us. Although we're probably all about the same age, I just think their music started. Judas Priest started so much before Saxon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
they found their chemistry a lot earlier than we did. So yeah, I mean, they're absolutely great band. I love Judas Priest.
I had a chance to talk to Rob not that long ago after his book came out. Did you get a chance to read his book?
No, I haven't read his book, no.
Yeah, his autobiography. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Answers a lot of questions. But hey, I got a question here from a listener. Do you think that the tremendous double solo tour with Don Jameson could happen in the future? And that was from Don Jameson. So
I just sent him a song by mistake. But no, I should have sent it to somebody else who's got a similar name. And he sent one back saying, I could write some lyrics for this song.
Yeah, you don't want to be singing his lyrics.
I've already got some lyrics. So, I mean, I hope it will. That would be, it was a great idea, and both me and Don were really into that. And we had sold, we had sold quite a few tickets, really. I mean, he hadn't sold any, but you know. it was going to be good. We were going to look forward to that. So I do have that on my mind. Just at the moment, everything's so crazy. You know, it's hard enough trying to get promoters to put on Saxon shows, never mind, you know, me and Don's shows. But it's always on the back of my mind, so you can tell him that it's always there, lurking, you know.
Yeah, he said, asking for a friend. Could you imagine Don writing a song for Saxon?
Yeah, I'm sure he could, you know. I'm sure he could. You know, there's not a lot of... you know, between a lead singer and a stand-up comedian, you know, there's definitely some connections there, you know, getting up on stage in front of people and just, you know, talking and singing and things. So, you know, it's, you know, I've been to see a lot of comedians in my time, and it is quite rock and roll, you know, the way that the show goes together, the way they travel around. So, yeah.
Yeah, for people that don't know, Don has actually toured with you guys before, to some extent, and he was telling me you know, the stories. I mean, you've heard this before, but you know, when you go on stage and you got to have the hot sauce and the whole thing, so right?
Yeah, we have. You know, he's been on the tour bus with us many times, Don. So he's officially a Saxon member.
Have you ever tried Bumblefoot's hot sauce?
Yeah, you mean the semi-agar stuff?
Don't say again now?
Is that the semi-agar stuff or is that the other stuff?
He's got the one, like, it's, I guess the real hot one's called Bumblefucked. You might have heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff, actually. I've had it in America on a sandwich, so it's pretty good, you know. I mean, we have some hot stuff, really hot stuff, that we take out with us, you know, different makes and different names. Like there's one called the Bomb that's quite hard. We once gave some to Chris Jericho. we were touring together, and he was in the front lounge with us, and we were having this stuff on tacos, you know, like people have dip. We were having this, you know, red hot sauce, and he came in going, "No, what's that, guys?" And we were like, "No, it's just some hot sauce. I want to be careful." He went, "Ah, yeah, I'll try some of that." You know, being the tough guy wrestler that he is, and you know, we gave him a bit, and he put it in his mouth, and you know, all these things are all like, you know, they have a time lag. They don't they don't hit straight away.
Right.
And he was talking away, and then suddenly he went quiet and rushed into the back lounge of the bus, and we didn't see him the rest of the night. So apparently he was drinking milk and scraping his tongue with a knife. So he learned a valuable lesson there to always listen to the advice and don't be careful.
I'll have to text him. He's a friend of mine. I'll have to text him and ask him about that. You know, I saw that over the pandemic, Netflix had this special on. It was about crazy, like, sports things. Like, they had one where people run down this hill after this ball of cheese, the wheel of cheese. And one of the episodes was this chili pepper eating contest. Did you see that?
I've seen them, yeah. I have seen them, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it where this woman from India or Pakistan, she rubs the chilies in her eyes. I mean, it's like, Jesus, that's like absolutely crazy stuff, you know. I mean, we're just beginners with the hot chili. But we do like it hot, you know, and we grow our own chilies in the glasshouse. So we're well up on the chilies, you know.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah, we've talked about that before, but that's cool that you can do that with guys like Jericho. That's so funny. I'll have to hit him up on that one. But
yeah, you get him up on that. He knows what I'm talking about. He'll remember straight away.
I'm sure he won't forget. So, well, listen, Biff, February 4th, Carpe Diem comes out, Seize the Day, and we'll look forward to getting this, the 23rd album from Saxon. And, man, you've been such a part of my history. I remember Denim and Leather as a kid and all those songs. And, man, just it's always great to catch up and talk with you. And good luck on everything coming up here in the future.
Yeah, thanks very much. I mean, everybody seems to like the album. Let's hope, the fans like it. And, we can sending off albums to tour America. That would be fantastic. That's the key.
Yes, I did text Jericho about that bus incident, and I'll just leave it at that. If he wants to talk about it, he can talk about it somewhere down the way. It's not my place, but funny stuff right there from Biff. Got to thank him for his time. Carpe Diem comes out on February 4th with 10 tracks right here. The opening track, Carpe Diem, like we were talking about, Remember the Fallen as well, with their tribute to those who have passed due to this virus. So hopefully they can get back here to the States and put on some cool shows. That show I saw the last time they were in town with Judas Priest and Black Star Riders, like I was talking about, just killer stuff, man. Really good stuff. Great bill. That was awesome. That was in March of 2008. I remember going with Chris Fain, number 3 from Slipknot. Remember him? I'm going to try to get him on the podcast this year and see exactly what happened as far as his ouster from the band. Speaking of that, I've got some other irons in the fire. Got some emails that I've sent off to some publicists, and I'm getting emails from publicists on a daily basis. So we'll try to get you guys a bunch of rock content coming up here in 2022. So check back, follow the podcast, follow me on Instagram and Twitter and the whole thing, at Meltdown, WRIF, WRIF Meltdown on the gram. And thanks so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.